Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files and listen on your phone or personal computer. And when you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening. Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com. Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Welcome to the Health Ranger Report with your host, Mike Adams.
Welcome, everybody. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger for NaturalNews.com, and today we are joined in the studio by none other than Dr. Edward Group from GlobalHealingCenter.com. He's an expert in heavy metals detox protocols and many other areas of health improvement and health support. And thank you for joining me today, Ed. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me on, Mike. It's always a pleasure.
We had you on the Alex Jones show the other day, and you were the most popular guest in a segment we did about chemtrails. People were raving about that.
Well, I mean, hopefully we can get enough raving to stop the chemtrails. I mean, there's obviously some popularity now, but I mean, the amount of aluminum that they're spraying is just incredible, and the amount of people that are getting sick. I mean, when you take chemtrails being spread all over the United States and all over the world, and all these poor children and all of us are outside breathing it in all day long, and then they go in for their flu shots and everything else on top of that and get injected with mercury. I mean, all these metals that build up in the system just react with each other and ultimately cause chronic illness.
Well, how bad is, I mean, I'm asked about chemtrails a lot. Some people look in the sky, they think every plane in the sky is spraying aluminum, which we know that's not the case. But there is a lot of weird stuff, a lot of geoengineering going on up there. How bad in your research really is the chemtrail problem? How much aluminum is being dumped into the atmosphere?
Right now, I would say it's severe and it's getting worse, you know, by the day pretty much. I mean, when you look at the amount of aluminum that was measured on the ground in, let's say, 19 or let's say 2006, for example, the maximum amount of aluminum is 0.5 micrograms per liter in rainwater or in any type of water allowed by the U.S. government. The U.S. government says it's an emergency situation when there's aluminum at over 1,000 micrograms per liter.
Right. 1,000 micrograms.
1,000 micrograms
per liter. A milligram per liter then.
Yes.
And that's the threshold.
That's the threshold. That's an emergency situation. The government should be called in immediately to remedy the situation.
Uh-huh.
Right now, or in late 2009, they did snow samples in Mount Shasta because the Pacific Northwest seems to be just getting bombarded. I mean, especially the East Coast, the West Coast. I mean, Texas is not as bad as some other states. Arizona's getting bombarded. The mid United States areas are getting hit pretty hard.
And Mount Shasta's in Northern California.
Yes.
For people who may not know. Yes. So what did the samples reveal?
61,100 micrograms of aluminum per liter.
So over 60 times the emergency threshold.
Yes.
Limit.
Yes, that's how, and that's just in about 4 years worth of time.
Okay, so to the skeptics out there who say, well, there's nothing to chemtrails, whatever, they got to ask the question, how did so much aluminum get on a mountain in California? Right? I mean, it's got to be the chemtrails.
Well, because what they're doing is they're going up into the stratosphere and they're spraying nanoparticles of aluminum, which are competing with the ozone, the natural production of ozone. It's actually neutralizing the ozone. And what happens then is it creates aluminum oxide, and then you have the white aluminum oxide that covers up all of the, you know, the sun, basically.
Right.
It was patented by Hughes in 1990, chemtrails were, to cool the planet because of global warming.
Is that what they're using them for, or is there some other agenda? I mean, why would they want to destroy the ozone?
They're not using it for that. There's other agendas involved, and it's crippling. It's population control, it's eugenics, and one of the big things is being able to work in conjunction with the big industrial companies, you know, GE, Monsanto, the pharmaceutical companies, everybody's in together and they all profit from each other. I mean, if Monsanto is creating metal resistant seeds and pH resistant seeds, they know for a fact that with aluminum building up on all the soil and all the leaves of the trees and everything else, it's going to smother them, number one. But number two, it's going to reduce their growth and create toxic food and poison food for people to eat, which...
And that's part of the plan, it seems. I mean, the U.S. government has every financial incentive to kill people off before they can collect Medicare or Social Security, for one thing. I mean,
exactly.
The government would go broke if people live longer.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's already broke, but it would be even more broke.
That's right. I mean, and you know, when you combine, you know, all the aluminum and all the mercury and everything else, all you're doing is just creating a sick population. 2/3 of all the children right now have chronic respiratory infections.
Right.
Associated with aluminum. And then you have all of the ADD, the hyperactivity, which is associated with vaccine damage, aluminum damage, mercury damage. I mean, you can link all these things to it.
Yeah.
They're not being detoxified. Nobody's addressing the root cause of the symptoms, and all they're doing is giving them prescription medications with more aluminum in them to try to counteract it.
And a lot of it's deliberate. I want to, for those who might be skeptical of whether the government is using airplanes to drop things into the atmosphere to distribute medicines, check out this story right here. Vaccine warfare reported here on Natural News. Texas carpet bombs 7,000 square miles with airdropped rabies vaccines. And we reported that on January 19th. What do you think about that idea, Ed? Dropping rabies vaccines from airplanes, just carpet bombing genetic material all over the landscape.
I would like to actually get a sample of one of those and test it and see what other toxins are involved in that. But, you know, what happens? It goes into the soil, it rains, it goes into the water systems, then it comes all the way downstream, or it soaks into the aquifers. So ultimately, it ends up in us one way or another. It doesn't matter what you put on the planet. Sooner or later, you're going to be exposed to it unless, of course, you have the protective measures around you.
Right. And we're going to talk about that because your company offers just a whole slew of products that help people protect themselves and detox and so on. We've got some of them shown here. I want to get to those more later. But but on this issue of rabies vaccines airdropped onto the land. I mean, it's even using the machinery of warfare. It is a carpet bombing of medicine, of genetic material onto the population. But, you know, the question in my mind is, how insane is it? Do these scientists not think about the genetic pollution of the landscape and the rivers and the oceans? Do they not even think about that? Like, this is the Agent Orange of viral material, basically.
They don't think about it. I mean, you have, you know, people making the decisions and they're telling the lower people what to do and what to do. And then, you know, you can still see workers working in houses with, you know, sanding floors or removing asbestos without any masks or anything. Right. So it's just about, you know, there's some people in the upper echelon that know about it. But as it gets passed down lower and lower and lower, those individuals don't know about it. I mean, I'd like to know who approved the dropping of rabies vaccines all over the state of Texas. I mean, if it wasn't for people like you exposing that, now we can all send letters to Congress or send letters to the state or, you know, whoever we need to send stuff to find out what's going on.
Well, I was shocked to find that this is happening, but it turns out they've been doing this for 18 years, Ed, here in Texas. 18 years they've been dropping rabies vaccines. And also, we exposed last year a program by the USDA called Bye Bye Blackbird that is the mass murder of birds and foxes and wolves, animals, and some American eagles end up getting killed in this program. It's an animal genocide program that's being pursued by the USDA using taxpayer money. So, you know, nothing surprises me anymore. Government's in the business of death, in the business of you know, crimes against nature, which is what this rabies vaccine is. And people don't know about this. I didn't even know about this one.
What they don't understand is if you start at the smallest organism and start killing that off, eventually it makes its way all the way up the food chain. For aluminum, for example, now biologists and some of these people are coming forward and testing the soils and everything, and they're starting to really evaluate and understand what's going on. Like they've taken the trout out of the streams in the Pacific Northwest, and usually the trout will have a full stomach of bugs. I mean, that's what they eat, the bugs on the water. Now they have about 75% less bugs. So it's just a matter of time before it all catches up with us. I mean, you can't kill off all, you have to protect the ecosystem and let it work the way it's supposed to work. I mean, if you start killing off the insects, then the frogs aren't going to have anything to eat. And as a matter of fact, the amphibian content all along in Northern California and up into Oregon and Washington the tree frog population has been declined from down to about almost extinction levels because of the aluminum killing off the insects and the bugs and the frogs not having any food to eat. So ultimately, it's going to affect us. It's just a matter of time.
I mean, this is almost like, I'm not saying literally this is the case, but it's almost like an alien race came to our planet to destroy it, and they taught some local humans, some crazy, power-hungry, devilish minions, how to do this so that they could destroy the planet and get it ready for the aliens. You know, I'm not saying literally that's the case, but it sounds like that kind of science fiction. It's so absurd that I mean, you know, aliens show up, let's carpet bomb Earth and make it suitable for us. Maybe they need aluminum in their diets or something, so they're trying to have extra aluminum on the surface of this planet.
Well, you know, that's, you know, David Icke talks about that and talks about, you know, a lot of, you know, we've been, you know, communicating with, you know, different forces apparently for years and years. So, I mean, it's almost like that. It's just, what's strange is that people don't realize you can talk to people, but they're just like sheeple. They sit there and say, well, my government would never do that to me, or my doctor's not going to tell me something bad to take.
Right.
And you have the majority of the population that's just been completely brainwashed and trained to not even look at this or not even think that, you know, that the government's keeping them safe and healthy and their doctors are keeping them safe and healthy, when it's completely opposite.
It's like they don't even know history. We documented on Natural News the history of government medical experiments on humans. It's not just Tuskegee. It's not just the Guatemala experiments. It's also Dr. Jonas Salk, the wonderful inventor of the polio vaccine. He was engaged in criminal medical experiments using innocent human beings who did not give their permission to be experimented on. I mean, he's a criminal. just like most of the so-called grandfathers of pharmaceutical medicine, they're all like war criminal minded, you know, just evil people who would destroy the planet, would destroy life as long as it makes them money. That's the whole history of modern, you know, Western medicine.
That's what it is. Exactly. Yeah, and you look at the whole AIDS, HIV debacle, and you know how the simian virus and how that was all manipulated and injected into hepatitis B vaccines, and Horowitz's research on that, which was excellent. I mean, it's a grand system that the more you get into it, the more you find how this eugenics and population control is just, you know, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper.
But it's hard for people to understand this. I mean, it's really hard for people to get a grip on the magnitude of evil, you know, the total destruction of life. It's like you really have an evil force on our planet that is trying to destroy life. I mean, just to wipe it out. And then you have people who are protectors of life. I think people like you and me. And that's what we serve for, is to protect life, the whole biodiversity of life. And it's like, you know, we're in this incredible battle with evil. You know, the Monsantos, most evil corporation in the country voted by our readers. The GMOs, total destruction of the seed supply. You know, the amphibians disappearing, the aluminum spraying, the mercury being flushed down the drain from dental work, if nothing else. You know, the pharmaceutical factories in India flushing, you know, thousands of pounds of antibiotics down the river. And, you know, how do people expect the planet to still be here, you know, to be alive?
The planet is extremely ill, extremely toxic, and as a population, we're extremely ill and extremely toxic. And they've designed it to start even before pregnancy. I mean, they've created over the past 10, 20, 30 years sterility. So people are having a hard time getting pregnant. Then they're having to pay more money to the pharmaceutical companies for IVF and all this other stuff.
Right.
And then when they do get pregnant, then the mothers are taught to have the baby in the hospital because they want the money from the C-section now. Used to be
right.
Even in the hospital you would have a natural birth, but then they said, oh, wait a second now. We get $30,000 for a C-section or whatever, and oh, that takes 5 minutes. We can just schedule that, and
sure.
I'm not going to have to wait here 24, 48 hours, 72 hours while the patient's in labor. The birth is completely traumatic for the child. They get injected from the time they come out. The mother is steered away from breastfeeding.
Yeah, what about the news on that we covered the other day? There's a study that's come out that a medical journal is saying that women should stop breastfeeding their children because breastfeeding interferes with the infant vaccines. So you got to feed them infant formula, which is based on high fructose corn syrup and milk proteins and soy protein extracted with explosive hexane chemicals, so that the vaccines will be more effective at murdering your kid.
Another brainwashing technique done by the mainstream media to prevent good health, because people are starting to catch on to more home births, and women are starting to realize the truth and wanting to breastfeed more and detoxifying their body before they have a baby or during pregnancy. And so now they're just looking for ways to manipulate these clinical studies or whatever to come out and say, you know, this is more beneficial. And they know that 80%, 90% of the people will listen.
Sure.
You know, when I was going through hospitals, you know, sometimes I still go through. I have friends that work at MD Anderson and stuff, and I'll just take a trip through there every now and then just to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Just recently, I was going through the maternity ward, and there was gynecological offices and high-risk pregnancy doctors in there, and they all had signs on their door for pregnant women that says, please do not leave, reminder, get your flu shot.
Really?
For pregnant women.
Pregnant women.
I'm talking women that were days away from having their child, or women that were just pregnant, high-risk pregnancies even.
That's incredible.
Signs on every single door.
Because it was just 3-4 years ago, it used to be that pregnant women should never get flu shots.
Yes.
I mean, that was the common sense, actually, since the beginning of vaccines all the way until just recently. And now, I agree with you. We've seen some photos that some of our readers have sent in that show pregnant women, and it's pushing a flu vaccine. Get vaccinated.
This year was probably the worst ever. I mean, there was just flu vaccine. I mean, there was just stuff everywhere. I mean, everywhere you look, 10% off if you
get a flu
vaccine. Yeah. You know, this, that, save this if you get a flu vaccination. I mean, they're really, really trying to push.
Well, we got a confirmation from, I believe it was CVS Pharmacy, or was it Walgreens? It was one of the two. Confirmation that their employees were being rewarded with iPads as a gift if they would recruit enough customers to get a flu shot.
That is sick.
So when you check out, the person behind the counter asks you, "You want a flu shot? Get your flu shot." Yeah, you should protect yourself and your family. Get your flu shot. And they get enough of those, they get a free iPad.
Yet if we tell somebody not to get a flu shot, we can get thrown in jail.
Well, you're a terrorist then.
A terrorist,
yeah,
exactly.
Right.
And this person has no medical training at all.
No.
$3, $5, $6, $7 an hour employee, doesn't even know what a flu shot is.
No, of course
and
not.
And is acting as a doctor recommending a flu shot to individuals. I mean, technically, that's what they're doing.
Well, that's right. I mean, this is how widespread the eugenics program really is.
They're giving out medical advice when someone like you or I would do that, we would be thrown in jail.
Of course, yeah. Anyway, we're out of time for this segment. Thanks for joining me today, Ed.
Thanks for having me in.
Welcome, everyone. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger for naturalnews.com. Here, joined today on the front lines of the GMO campaign, the tip of the spear is a man named Jeffrey Smith. He's with the Institute of Responsible Technology. He's been our guest many times. He's the author of Genetic Roulette, Seeds of Deception, many other books and websites and activism campaigns. He's the man who he's got his finger on the pulse of the GMO activism efforts out there. And he joins us today by Skype to give us an update for January 2012. Jeffrey, thank you for joining us today. It's great to have you on.
It's great to be here, Mike.
Well, give us, I don't know where you want to start, but jump right into it. What do we need to know? What's happening for January 2012?
Well, I want to start with news of the weird, and that is genetically modified mosquitoes.
Okay.
Now, it sounds stranger than truth, but genetically modified mosquitoes have already been released in the Cayman Islands, Malaysia, and in Brazil. And the company wants to introduce genetically modified mosquitoes in the United States in the Florida Keys. Now, a freedom of information request from a European NGO, non-governmental organization, has found that the company was trying to withhold key data that could affect the future of the mosquitoes on the planet. And here's the concept. The genetically modified mosquitoes are engineered, they genetically engineer the male mosquitoes that do not bite. So they say this is one reason why it won't affect humans because they don't bite.
Okay.
What they do is they mate with the female mosquitoes and result in sterile offspring. So they reduce the population of mosquitoes to fight dengue fever, which is carried by mosquitoes. So they have big plans to introduce these mosquitoes all over the planet. And they want to introduce a diamondback moth as well. Now, what they didn't tell us is that, in fact, there is a 3% survival rate among the offspring. But if the mosquitoes are subjected to tetracycline, then the survival rate can go up to 15%. Whether it's 3% without tetracycline or 15%, and tetracycline is available in nature in large quantities, we're talking about creating the offspring of genetically modified mosquitoes that can be biting humans and livestock and having completely different impacts than any mosquitoes have ever had before on Earth, and possibly changing the balance of the mosquito population forever.
Now, this is a classic Pandora's box, because once they introduce these mosquitoes, of course, you can't ever take them back. There's no undo for this, right?
I wouldn't want to be hired by the company with the job of recalling them.
Now, tetracycline is a common antibiotic that's sold as a prescription drug. Where you mentioned it's found in nature. How would mosquitoes interact with tetracycline out there in the wild? I'm not familiar with that.
Well, it could be found in sewage areas. It's sometimes found in high concentrations in chicken and other livestock that are treated with tetracycline. So it's out there in environment and in food. In fact, the study showed that when they fed mosquitoes cat food, that had high levels of tetracycline in the chicken, that's where they had high survival rates.
Wow. Now, what are the other possible side effects of these genetically modified mosquitoes than surviving and breeding and biting us? What are we looking at, you know, a few years down the road if this
goes
bad?
Well, the thing is, when you introduce a new genetic structure, it's really a genetic roulette. You can end up causing all sorts of collateral damage. And in the report, they discuss the possibility of new allergens. So let's say you are allergic to a genetically modified mosquito, but not to regular mosquitoes, and the mosquitoes are not labeled. You're not going to know when you're attacked by a GM mosquito, but you'll never know that it was the genetically modified mosquito that caused you to get the potentially deadly anaphylactic shock. So you're going to be in a situation where you're going to be clueless as to why you're having an allergic reaction.
Okay, all right. Another example of scientists just unleashing the great unknown onto us. What else? What else you got on your list of bizarre GMO experiments?
Years ago, Monsanto put out a release saying that they were going to triple yields by 2030, and they were going to have drought-resistant crops, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they finally, after all this time, came up with their first drought-resistant crop, which was approved on December 21st by the USDA. However, if you read the USDA report, it doesn't work. It's no better than the conventionally bred corn. It only works for moderate drought conditions. It has no lower minimum requirements for water. And there's conventionally bred crops that outperform the GM crop in conditions of high drought. So it's a complete failure, but it's a public relations win because it's going to be introduced. They're going to sell it, and they're going to say, now we are protecting America's farms from drought because we have drought-resistant corn.
Well, this is what's so frustrating about corporations. I mean, even the war on drugs is advertised as a huge success, but it's a massive failure. Here we have these crops advertised as drought-resistant, but they're dying just as much as the other crops. How do they get away with this? Is the press covering their mistakes for them?
I'm afraid not. Well, you are, which is good. But, I mean, they said that GMOs will feed the world. It actually works against that. They said it would increase yield. It actually reduces yield. They said it would decrease the use of agricultural chemicals. It increases agricultural chemicals. And, in fact, it reduces biodiversity, which threatens the entire food supply at a time of global climate change. And, in fact, their Roundup Ready crops require more water. And there's a whole gamut of things that are going wrong. But unfortunately, they've got billions of dollars to spread it around, and we've got $2.95 to work with. So we're fighting against this juggernaut. However, there's so much evidence now that it's a failed technology. More and more farmers are catching on, and most importantly, consumers are catching on.
Yeah, they are. It's huge. Awareness has spiked in just the last few months, I've noticed. Are you seeing that too when you talk to people?
Absolutely. In fact, I noticed the big upsurge starting in the first half of 2010. Then the GE salmon threat from the FDA came on the big scene in terms of the media. The court cases for alfalfa and sugar beets hit. Then the approval of alfalfa at the beginning of 2011. And it's been absolutely nonstop in terms of increased awareness, agitation, concern, and organization against GMOs.
Okay. All right. Well, major efforts are underway also about are you going to talk about the GMO labeling campaign in California?
I'll mention that too. We've got a few more items that I want to cover that happened this
month. Go for it.
In Argentina, tax authorities discovered that a contractor for Monsanto down there was holding workers in slave-like conditions. They were unable to leave their workplace, forced to work for as much as 14 hours a day, detasseling corn, and forced to buy overpriced food in the company store. And so this was an example of how we can find how Monsanto allows its contractors to treat the people that work for it.
Well, it should be no surprise. Look at the way they treat us as human guinea pigs. I mean, why wouldn't they treat workers as slaves? It's consistent.
Absolutely. In Europe, France is holding the line. They're saying they're not going to plant genetically modified corn. They said they weren't, and a European court said that their reason was not legally allowed, and they said, tough, we're not going to allow it planted anyway.
You're listening to the Health Ranger Report on Natural News Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files and listen on your phone or personal computer. And when you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening. Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com. Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
A biotech giant, BASF, that introduced a potato for starch in Europe recently is now pulling out of Europe altogether, discontinuing the potato growing and moving its headquarters to the United States. Also in Europe, earlier this year, there was a ruling that said that any honey that contains pollen from genetically engineered crops needs to be approved and registered and labeled. And so it was a big setback because a lot of the honey there is in fact contaminated with genetically modified corn pollen.
Wow. Well, yeah, that sounds like a very important victory, at least one small battle in the greater war. Does Monsanto and DuPont and the other companies, do they really think that they're going to get away with all this? I mean, don't they see this tidal wave of awareness working against them?
A few years ago, an insider told me that the executives of Monsanto were getting nervous. And that's the only recent experience I've had with direct response from where they're what they're feeling. But it's clear that they're being hit pretty hard from many levels. They've had court cases where they've been shown to be lying and advertising. The most recent one was India, where they had advertised to farmers that they would increase their income by a certain dramatic amount. Turns out it was completely unsupported, and an Indian government agency called them on it and said it was illegal. The French High Court told them that it was illegal to describe Roundup as biodegradable. A South African court caught them for false advertising. You know, and it doesn't stop them. I mean, they were stopped in New York for false advertising about biodegradable Roundup. And they continued to advertise the exact same claim in Europe until a court stopped them there and only fined them $23,000.
Well, we see the same thing with Big Pharma. When these drug companies commit felony crimes and marketing fraud, they always end up settling with the states after a lawsuit is filed. And in the settlement, they, quote, admit no wrongdoing. So they're never banned from doing business with government. They continue to do business. They just figure that lying and fraud is just a cost of doing business to cover the fines, and that's it. They just keep doing it.
And they have a lot of insiders pulling the strings for them. For example, this month in India, it was discovered that the vice chairman of the Apex Committee on Approving Genetically Modified Crops, the Genetic Engineering Approval Committee, which is essentially a rubber stamp for the biotech industry, the vice chairman is on the board of directors of ISAAA, which is the most pro-GM, ridiculously unscientific spokesbody for this industry. They constantly put out an annual report inflating statistics. They've been shown constantly to have unscientific opinions. And so this guy, who's the co-chair of the approval body in India, is actually promoting the ISAAA news releases and misinformation. And likewise, there was another guy at the Genetic Engineering Approval Committee that actually approved a crop that he was developing and he had the patent for. So talk about conflict of interest.
Oh, yeah, total corruption. No doubt these people are all on the take. And, you know, it's also hilarious in a pathetic kind of way that this is all being done under the name of science. You know, and these people say we're scientific. It has nothing to do with science. It has everything to do with bribery, corruption, and really what you would call corporate-funded science or distorted junk science, or how do you describe it?
Tobacco science.
Tobacco science. There you go.
Yeah, I think people get that. I want to talk about the insecticide and herbicide impacts of GMOs, and there's three big stories around that are brewing. One is honeybees. There was new evidence that a systemic seed treatment, nicotine-based insecticide that you treat seeds with, and it's used a lot on corn. And it was introduced big time when GMOs were introduced. They weren't using it very much before that, but when GMOs were introduced, for many technical reasons, they started coating these seeds with these neonicotinoid insecticides, and the GM corn was coated with five times the amount. It turns out this neonicotinoid insecticide, or the neonics, are likely to be the primary contributor to colony collapse disorder, killing huge percentage of the bee population on Earth. And Bayer Crop Science, which made $1 billion last year selling these neonics, their two main products, basically said, well, we know that neonicotinoids can cause bee death and disorientation so they can't find their way back to the hive, but there's no exposure level that would be toxic to the bees. Well, the new study that just came out this month shows that when the seeds are planted, the dust goes into the air and carries high concentrations of these neonics into the air onto dandelions, where bees like to gather the pollen, and into the soil. And it can go into the soil and up into crops like the dandelions. It basically gets there at levels sufficient, they believe, to kill the insects. They also found in this study that when they found dead bee bodies, it contained the neonicotinoid insecticides in their body at sufficient deadly levels.
Well, that proves
and they
it.
Found pollen that was in the hive that had systemic levels so that could create chronic exposure. So it's not just acute, but chronic over time, where all of the bees in there could eventually lose the ability to find their way back to the hive potentially.
Well, see, Jeffrey, this is where it becomes really serious. We're talking about crimes against nature. We're talking about crimes against humanity. Without honeybees, the food supply collapses. We have serious problems on this planet if this is allowed to continue. And you just described there a lot of information that I hadn't heard before, the mechanism for how that actually is killing the honeybees. That's shocking.
Yeah, earlier there was studies that show that there was secretions of liquid in the plants that form beads on the plant in the mornings, and then the tired bees, after fanning the hive all night, will go and get their earliest level of nutrient. They'll go to the nearest plant and drink the nectar, and then they'll not find their way back to the hive. But this is even more significant because they actually found bees that had died with neonicotinoid insecticides in their bodies. The neonics also reduce the immune system defenses against a viral attack. It's also true that a study found that when bees were gathering pollen from GM corn, from BT corn, which is designed to break open the stomach of insects and kill them, it doesn't break open the stomach of insects necessarily, the bees, but certain other types of insects. The bees that were gathering pollen from the GM crops ended up with viral infections, and the controls did not, suggesting that their immune system became compromised. So that may explain why there's more colony collapse disorder in the U.S. than there is overseas, where GMOs are planted less.
That's right.
So it could be a perfect storm.
Yeah, a perfect storm for death. I mean, widespread death and starvation. I mean, isn't it just stunning that these corporate scientists are so greedy and so blinded by their own arrogance that they will literally compromise the future of life on our planet just so they can make a quarterly profit? I mean, how sick is that?
And the lies are blatant and very often in the details. For example, Bayer's scientists said that bees don't collect much pollen from corn. But in the study, it found that up to 50% of the pollen collected by the bees were from corn when the corn had pollen. So they're just making things up.
Yeah.
They just make up assumptions. And we see this all over the place. I have caught them, you know, 100, 200 times making up assumptions which are either blatantly false or never tested, or eventually tested and found to be false.
Well, that's called science, Jeffrey. You make up whatever you want. It gets published in a scientific journal. All the scientists say it's true. They just make it up. They invent it. I mean, how many pharmaceutical researchers have been caught just completely fabricating their results? And some of them did it for 20 years before they finally got busted. I mean, it's sick. But I don't mean to interrupt you. I can't stay silent about this. We got a few more minutes in this segment. What else do you need to cover in this segment, Jeffrey?
Two more stories about herbicides. Roundup, it turns out, is far more toxic and more pervasive and more dangerous than anyone had believed before. There's a new organism that may be associated with the spraying of Roundup or Roundup-ready crops, and this organism is able to kill a fetus and a pregnant chicken within 24 hours. It may be responsible for widespread epidemic we're seeing in the inability of livestock to maintain their pregnancies. It's found in high concentrations of crops that have been diseased and associated with Roundup spray. So this is one of the possible reasons why the Roundup-ready crops may be causing reproductive disorders. Another is that Roundup chelates and binds with nutrients, making them unavailable to crops and to livestock. So there's widespread nutritional deficiencies in U.S. livestock.
Wow.
And some of those nutritional deficiencies can affect the ability to have babies or the health of those babies. So, for example, one of the most important nutrients that's made unavailable is manganese. And they found that 63% of the stillborn calves had deficiencies in high levels of manganese. Also, there was a very large percentage of the stillborn, the deep birth defect calves that had lack of manganese. And there's basically a universal deficiency of manganese among the conventional livestock population. And that's just one of many, many nutrients. So that's a second possible reason why Roundup may be causing reproductive problems. And the third is that Roundup itself is directly toxic. It can kill human placental cells. It interrupts the estrogen cycle. It can cause abnormal and decreased levels of sperm, and it can cause birth defects. So we're having a problem right now with reproductive health in humans and animals. And Roundup is so omnipresent. It's found in the urine of people who live in the city. It's in a U.S. Geological Survey in the Midwest. It was found in either up to between 60 and 100% of all samples collected in the air, water, and rain. It's found in surface waters. It was just found in a Spanish study for the first time in the groundwater there. So it's basically omnipresent. It's even found in the blood of North Americans, and it passes through the placenta into the blood of the fetus. So this is another one of Monsanto's gifts to the world, like PCBs before, which is found in the blood of polar bears. Now Roundup is everywhere, and it can be causing reproductive disasters in the populations.
Well, what's astonishing is that the people who are promoting Roundup don't know any of this information. And I'll give you a personal example of this. You know, I'm hanging out on a ranch in Austin or near Austin, And we had a consultant come out who was educated at Texas A&M, which is not the most organic educational institution in the country. And he comes out and notices we have a 20-acre field that's got the wrong kind of grass in it, a non-native grass. And we said, well, how do we convert the grass over to native grasses? He says, oh, that's easy. Just spray Roundup on all 20 acres. And they say this every day to everybody all across Texas. I mean, people are spraying chemicals and a lot of Roundup left and right like you can't believe, Jeffrey.
I know. In fact, the incidence of Roundup is increasing so much because of the herbicide-tolerant weeds that the incidence of herbicide use in the study showed that it was up 31% in the last of the 13 years studied, 31% in a single year. But what's also happening, and this leads to the last piece from this month, is that it's forced farmers to switch to acutely toxic chemicals like 2,4-D, which is a component of Agent Orange.
Yeah.
And in the making of 2,4-D, you can have dioxins, which are also linked to birth defects. It turns out one of the ways that the industry, now this is bizarre. We started out with like truth beyond fiction with the mosquitoes. This is equally as ridiculous. The way that Dow Chemical wants to solve the problem about herbicide tolerant weeds that are resistant to Roundup is, and the USDA is ready to approve it, corn and soybeans that are resistant to 2,4-D.
Right.
So you can spray the entire field with 2,4-D, causing an environmental and health catastrophe in order to allow Dow to sell more of its seeds and its 2,4-D chemicals.
Hey, it's like being airbombed in the Vietnam War with Agent Orange, except they're going to do it right here in America in our backyard. I mean, that's how crazy it is. Wasn't 2,4-D, that's about 50% of Agent Orange, isn't it?
Precisely.
That's insane. I mean, it used to be a chemical warfare ingredient. Now it's agriculture. This has got to stop. And I know you're doing some great work, the most important work, Jeffrey, on the front lines to stop this. And let me just give a message to the folks watching. If you want to help stop this, support Jeffrey's organization, the Institute for Responsible Technology. That's at responsibletechnology.org. Jeffrey, is there any other website or book name you want to give out?
Well, responsibletechnology.org is a way that you can sign up for our free electronic newsletter, watch free videos and audios online, catch a lot of articles. But if you want to learn to avoid genetically modified foods, go to non-GMOshoppingguide.com and look at thousands of products that have been verified by the Non-GMO Project, a third-party verifier, to back up non-GMO claims. So if people avoid GMOs, and there's enough of us, even 5% of the U.S. population, it should be sufficient to create a tipping point, as happened in Europe, so that the food companies realize that using GM ingredients is a marketing liability and will kick it out.
Absolutely. Well said. That is the pathway to victory. And Jeffrey, you are an American hero for your work. I want to thank you so much for doing what you do and for joining us here today on naturalnews.com. Folks, thank you for watching. Jeffrey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, that's our interview with Jeffrey Smith. Be sure to check other segments, other interviews with Jeffrey on tv.naturalnews.com. All right, welcome to the Health Ranger Report. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, reporting for naturalnews.com. Today we have some new information, breaking news, from a medical journal called Cell Research. This is news about the dangers of genetically modified foods. And this is new information. This shows the mechanism by which genetically modified foods, or GM foods, or GE foods, genetically engineered, may alter your organ function. You see, in the past, Monsanto has said that genetically modified seeds and foods are presumed safe. It doesn't mean they're proven safe. In fact, right here from the Monsanto website, a couple of quotes you need to know. Here it is. Monsanto says, quote, there is no need to test the safety of DNA introduced into genetically modified crops. And they go on to say, there is no need for or value in testing the safety of GM foods in humans. So you see, Monsanto has a position that they don't even need to test the safety of these genetically modified foods because it doesn't even matter. But now, here in Cell Research, we have a new study called the exogenous plant MIR16A. That is a microRNA study that we're talking about here. Specifically targets mammalian LDL-RAP1. That's a receptor for LDL cholesterol. function in the liver. Evidence of cross-kingdom regulation by microRNA. Now, this study, here's what it actually means. It means that microRNA, which is information, it is genetic information, has now been found to pass from the foods through digestion into your blood and then to attach onto your organs. You got that? It goes from the food through digestion into your blood and attaches onto your organs, and there it modifies the function and the expression of those organs. This is groundbreaking science. This nullifies the safety claims of Monsanto. And it means that we are more than just the vitamins and minerals and fiber and carbohydrates and proteins that we eat. It means we are also eating information. You got that? We're eating information because DNA and RNA is information. So when we're eating this microRNA, it's surviving that process and then providing information to the cells and the organs in our body. Maybe this is why GMOs are causing such widespread infertility, because the microRNA because the microRNA is attaching to the receptor sites of the fertility organs and altering the expression or the function of those fertility organs. Let me read you some more from the study, because it's quite fascinating. This is in the abstract of the study, which again was published in the September 20th edition, 2011, of Cell Research. The abstract says, quote, "Here we report the surprising findings that exogenous plant microRNAs are present in the sera," that means the blood serum, "and tissues of various animals, and that these exogenous plant microRNAs are primarily acquired orally through food intake." That, again, is breaking science. It changes everything. You see, you already know that you are what you eat. And normally, that means you are the vitamins and the minerals and the other nutrients that you consume. We know that that's true on a physical level or even a biochemical level. But what about the information that you eat? Are you also the information? The answer is yes, and this is, again, a whole new realm of science. When a predator consumes prey, there is a predator/prey relationship where there is a transfer of information from the prey to the predator. So back in American Indian lore, when the American Indians would kill and consume a buffalo, they would say that in some sense you become, or that buffalo becomes part of you, or a part of you becomes the buffalo. You and that animal or the plant that you consume become one. What we're finding now with the study is that is genetically a true statement at some interesting level. It's not just metaphor. It's actually biochemically true that you become, in a small way, but a very true way, part of what you consume. Now, what happens when you consume plants that have been altered, artificially concocted in a laboratory by profit-driven scientists working for the most evil corporation in the world? You get information that's bad information. It's not natural information. It is Frankenfood information. And when you consume that, that information goes into your body and then begins to program your organs and your cells and your tissues to behave in a way that is artificial, that is not natural, that is Frankensteinian in its effect, in essence. That's what we're seeing with genetically modified foods. That's why this is a big deal. Let me read you some more quotes from this particular study. It says that this MIR168A could bind to the human mouse low-density lipoprotein receptor, that's the LDL cholesterol receptors, adapter protein, inhibit LDLRAP1 expression in the liver. Again, this is altering your liver function in terms of regulating cholesterol, and consequently decrease LDL removal from mouse plasma. What that means is that you would have high LDL levels in your blood. These findings demonstrate that exogenous plant microRNA in food can regulate the expression of target genes in mammals. You got that? If you truly understand what's being said here, your jaw should be dropping to the floor. It's that big of a deal. This is huge. It means that, again, eating these genetically modified foods and crops can alter the expression of your organs. Let me read you more. MicroRNAs have been widely shown to modulate various critical biological processes, including differentiation, that's cell specialization, apoptosis, which is part of the cancer prevention process in human normal human cell metabolism, proliferation, the immune response, and the maintenance of cell and tissue identity. Now, that's another crucial statement. What do you get when your cell doesn't remember what identity it's supposed to express? You get a DNA mutation that results in the formation of a cancer cell that goes on to become a cancer tumor. So what we are seeing here now, written in this paper, in language that's very technical, but if you understand it in layman's terms, it means simply this. If you eat genetically modified foods, you are absorbing information from those foods that can potentially cause cancer in your body. It can alter the expression, the function of your organs, such as the liver, and possibly, in fact, very likely, many other organs, including your brain, including fertility organs, including your kidneys, perhaps even your heart. In other words, the more genetically modified food you consume, the less human you become. That is a shocking but true statement. By eating this information, you are becoming less human and less natural. It's literally altering the expression of your body and your body's tissues. Going on in this study, again, published in Cell Research, it goes on to state that this has the potential to selectively interact with specific target cells and mediate intracellular communication. That's wow. The secreted microRNAs can serve as a novel class of signaling molecules in mediating intercellular communication. In other words, it can interfere with the cell signals between your cells. And as Dr. Bruce Lipton wrote about in The Biology of Belief, it is the outside of the cell membrane, that is much of the intelligence of your whole system. It is the intelligence that tells the inside of the cell what to do based on what's happening in its environment. And what this study is showing is that, again, eating GMOs and genetically engineered foods can alter what signals your cells are receiving. Now, why does this matter? Here's a picture of BT corn. BT corn is a genetically modified variety of corn. It's grown throughout North America and around the world, in fact, and most of the corn that's harvested in America today is BT corn. BT is genetically engineered to produce an insecticide chemical in its own kernels. Yeah, an insecticide. An insecticide that kills insects by causing neurological damage. Now, inside the BT corn DNA, there is coding, artificial programming, you might say, for it to synthesize this insecticide in its own kernels. That way, when insects eat the corn, they die of neurological poisoning. So that way the insects don't eat the corn, and then they harvest the corn and they use it to make high fructose corn syrup. They use it to feed cattle. They use it to make your corn flake breakfast cereals and your corn tortillas and your corn soup and everything else that you're eating at the grocery store that's not USDA organic. Got that? If it's not non-GMO, it's probably BT corn. Based on this study, now we have the understanding of a mechanism by which you might eat BT corn and you might become a person who is now coded or programmed to produce insecticide in your own body. You understand that? That's a very big deal. In other words, the microRNA that is coding for the production of neurologically damaging insecticides in the corn could pass through digestion. It could get into your blood. It could get into your digestive tract. It could perhaps even attach to various organs in your body. It could, in fact, transfer into the so-called friendly flora that inhabits your intestinal tract, and those bacteria could then begin producing BT insecticide in your own gut. That would cause you to start producing poison and suffering the symptoms of that poison inside your own gut. You could, in other words, become a pesticide factory. Again, remember when I said the more you eat of this, the less human you become. You're becoming less human and more factory. More pesticide factory. And now this isn't metaphor anymore, folks. I hope you get this. This is actual biological genetic truth. This is a scientific fact. It also means that the excuse that Monsanto uses that we don't have to test this for safety in humans, there's no need to even test anything, that is pure quackery. That's junk science. It's corporate run science produced for the sole purpose of selling more GMO seeds
and generating profits for what is now considered to be the most evil corporation on our planet, Monsanto, and the second most evil corporation being DuPont, which is also very heavily invested and involved in the GMO seed industry. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, reporting on GMOs for naturalnews.com. Take care.